The scripture given to us today is Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. It is on page 96 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. Allow me to read the words of God. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Amen. Pastor Youngjun Kim, who has been serving as one of the first four main pastors of our church, has submitted his resignation. I'm sharing his resignation with sadness. Pastor Kim suffered a stroke in June 2019 and took a sick leave for 14 months to recover from the disease. Then he returned in September 22 and has served his post for the past year and 8 months. But his health did not get better completely. He could not fully carry out the tasks required of a pastor, of a main pastor who needs to serve from early in the morning. So he resigned as of today. Please pray for the health and future of Pastor Kim Youngjun as well as the co-pastorship of our church. When Jacob's descendants entered Egypt, the number was only 70. After 430 years, the number of Israelites that left Egypt grew to 600,000, only when we count fully grown men with healthy bodies. So if we also count for the elderly, women, and children, the total number would have been about 2 million. People are often surprised by such number, but what is even more important is how so many people could follow Moses, sent by God, and obeyed the order to leave. If they had spent 400 years in the wilderness and then went to Egypt, then it is understandable because Egypt was one of the powerful countries in the world at the time. However, Israelites went the opposite direction. The descendants of Israel were slaves, but they did not have to worry about what to eat, where to sleep, or what to wear. However, they left for a place without such guarantees of life's necessities. But there were people who left Egypt along with Israelites. In chapter 12, verses 37 and 38 in Exodus, it says, "The Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went up with them, and also large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds." Israel also left with many other groups of people. Many other people refer to groups of other ethnicities who are not descendants of Israel. But then they were in the wilderness together and became members of the Israelite community in Canaan. They were not a community of blood relatives or ethnic group, but one of faith and worship. There is a phrase used to represent our ethnicity the white people or 백의 민족. It is not because our people like to wear white clothes. If that was true, then about half or one-third of people in the streets should be wearing white-colored clothing. On TV, many actors wore clean. There may have been sufficient technology to color clothes, but people were too poor to bear the cost. On TV, actors wore clean white clothing in historical fiction TV shows, but in reality, that was not the case. There were a couple of missionaries that visited Korea before we had resident missionaries coming to Korea. One of them, Karl Gustloff, a German doctor and pastor, stayed in Gode Island in Boryeong City of Chungcheongnam-do province for about a month, translating the Lord's Prayer into Korean and teaching how to plant potato seeds and grow them to the poor people living in the island. Missionary Gustloff wrote that he couldn't sleep properly due to the stench coming from people's head, mouth, body, and clothes. He thought what they needed the most was soap. So he even prayed to God that he would give them soap, even though he could not do so himself. We don't talk about it as much nowadays, but when I was in elementary school, we also learned that we are one ethnic group. We were taught to be proud of this fact. However, people consistent of one ethnic group tend to be more antagonistic towards other ethnic groups. Since we are now living in a global society, we have to live with other ethnic groups and also with people from different nationalities. As Israelites did not aim to be one ethnic community, inclusive attitude towards others is the proper characteristic of Christians. The Israelite army in front of the powerful and large Goliath was like a fearful mouse in front of a cat, not knowing what to do. Then a young man, David, defeated Goliath and stood in front of Israel. He then married the son of the daughter of King Saul, Michal, and became a prince. David was a faithful general serving King Saul as his lord and also his son-in-law. When King Saul was not in his right mind, he also served as a music therapist, playing the harp in front of him. So we would think their relationship would have been one of intimacy and trust. However, when David returned from after defeating the Philistine army, Israelite women danced and sang with musical instruments. Saul has slain thousands, and David killed 10,000s. King Saul did not consider this as music, but took it literally and considered David as his archenemy. So King Saul went around Israel with 3,000 men trying to kill David. David had to live in many caves going from one wilderness to another. David went to hide in a cave in Adullam, and his brothers, parents, and the entire family came. David had become the archenemy of the king, so his family's lives would have not been comfortable. Moreover, there were 400 people who had suffered and were marginalized along with David. David was in a tough situation himself, but he did not ignore these people or send them away. He stayed with all of them. And the number of people staying with David quickly grew to 600. They also accompanied David when he went to Achish, the king of the guard of the Philistines, because David may fall short as he tries to avoid Saul's hands. This was a tough path, and one Chronicles chapter 12 verse 22 says, day after day, men came to help David until he had a great army like the army of God. When David took in those who came to him, and then they became David's companions, God considered those who were with David as the army of God. They played an important role for David to become king and also for his reign. As so, living as Christians means including others in our space, in our private and public spheres in life. So growing and maturing together is the proper Christian life. We Christians have to live like so because our Lord has shed his blood on the cross to include us in his kingdom and to live with us forever. Today's text also testifies about one person Jesus included as a member of his community. Verse 12 of today's scripture says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. In the Korean Bible, the translation of the situation is a little bit bland. The text is actually an expression of great surprise. If you translate the first half of the sentence close to the original, it is like this. Look, when Jesus was in our neighborhood, a man went to him and was healed. He's the one with leprosy. In the past, lepers were thoroughly avoided in Korea. So there are several proverbs that refer to leprosy. One proverb is, a leper passes by when you clean your space, which figuratively refers to a situation when a person who comes by and ruins what you have tried to do, and this person is not so worthy, or when the person waiting does not come and the wrong person comes. There is also a saying, you kill a leper and then you become murdered, which figuratively refers to being greatly offended after doing something insignificant. And there's also a proverb that says, I will dig up garlic seeds stuck in the nostrils of a leper, which was used to curse people who are greedy and also greedy for other people's things. This expression shows that in the past, lepers were considered to be vulgar, and it was considered to be okay to defame their character. At the time of Jesus, even in Israel, leprosy was shunned, ignored, and had to live in isolation. It wasn't like that in all the countries around Israel at the time, but it was unusually so in Israel. Naaman, who was the army of the Syria during the prophet Elisha's time was also suffering from leprosy. But he went to war, led soldiers, and also was free to go to the temple with the king that he had served. But that was impossible in Israel. The rules pertaining to leprosy are detailed in chapters 13 and 14 of Leviticus. And the first thing that needs to be done when someone is found to have leprosy was to be quarantined. At the time, there were three rules about quarantine. The first was for persons that have been defamed by touching a corpse, or the second was persons who had infectious diseases, and the third were the lepers. Among them, those who were defamed by touching a corpse could not get close to the temple for a certain period of time, and an infectious patient could not come close to the temple and the Levites' residence. But for the leper, of course, they could not get close to the temple and the Levites' residence, but they could not even live close to others, so they had to live outside the castle, outside the city. So lepers built houses in the fields and lived together, or built burrows in the mountains. In the movie Ben-Hur, Ben-Hur's sisters and mother had leprosy, and they lived in a cave in the mountains. And they had to cut their hair and rip it, and then put it around their chest, and then also scream that they are unclean. It means that others need to be careful, because you cannot go to the temple if anyone comes close to themselves. They were living, but inside they were dead. The fact that these lepers lived outside the city doesn't just mean that they lived in a different area. It means that they weren't included in the community with the Israeli people. You know, most of the ancient wars were fought over cities. So if they lived outside the castle in the city, they were more likely to die than anyone else. And yet, they were people who were not considered enough to check whether these people were alive or dead. What made leprosy even more difficult at the time was that people thought the cause of the disease was the result of God's punishment. So this is why people mistreated people with leprosy. The person with leprosy in today's text, his body was not covered with leprosy with just one part of the body, but actually the entire body. So how much antagonism would people have had towards him, and how frustrated would he have been in his life? But this person came in front of Jesus. It could have not seemed to be a big deal if friends and ordinary people like us had come to Jesus, but it was actually a life-threatening event for a leper to come to Jesus. People would throw stones when lepers approached because they could not go to the temple for a certain period of time, since they were considered unclean. Whenever they came in contact with a leper. So it is a great feat of in itself that this person came forward to Jesus. Let me read verse 12 again. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." It's great that this leper came to Jesus, but his confession is even more touching. He confessed, "God, you can clean me up if you want." As I said before, leprosy was something that a person had no choice about, but they had to live with resentment. The disease in this person's body was the biggest barrier to his life. So this person's biggest dream would be to have his body be healed. If we were a leper, what would have you asked Jesus to do after reaching out to him? We would have said, "Jesus, please cure this disease. If you cure me, I will give you everything I have, my whole life, and I will follow you and wash your feet." Instead, this person confessed, "Lord, you can clean me up if you want." This shows that this person believes that Jesus not only has the ability to cure his disease, but is also seeking the will of the Lord, saying, "If you say you will cure me, then my disease will be cured." By instinct, a person thinks about his needs first. This leper is a man who has no time to think about others. He's a leper who can't be treated like a human being by other people. Getting better would have been the best wish, the greatest thing to happen to him. Nevertheless, he sought the will of the Lord first. On the contrary, he confesses. So if you think about the contrary, he's saying, if the Lord doesn't want to, I have no choice but to live as a leper for the rest of my life. People ask for God's will at first, but at the decisive moment, they ask for their own will rather than God's. Even though people pray for God's will to be fulfilled, the world still does not deliver the God's will. Instead, worldly desires are rampant, and a wave of worldly values flow proudly because people at the decisive moment pray for their own will. So I envy the faith of this leper. I'm so envious. I don't want to have his illness, but I want to emulate his faith. Like this leper, there may be things in our lives that frustrate us, barriers that make us sigh deeply. It may be innate or acquired difficulties. Maybe your appearances fail you, or you have less ability than others. Perhaps you have a physical disability, or fail in your business or job, or have difficulties at home. But if you meet the Lord deeply and obey Him because of this, then it is our blessing and grace. But in today's text, there's something more important than the fact that this leper came to Jesus, or that he was a believer seeking the will of the Lord. Let's look at verse 13. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Leprosy was the number one disease to be quarantined at the time. So people were reluctant to be with lepers, and they were proud to stay away from them. But Jesus reached out his hand and touched the body of the leper to cure it. Jesus is the creator of God of all things in heaven and earth. Therefore, Jesus can cure this man's leprosy with just his words. When Jesus healed the haunted man in the synagogue in Capernaum, he did so only with his words. And Jesus also scolded the fever that Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from and healed her. Of course, there are times when Jesus put his hands on other patients and healed them. Leprosy is an infectious disease, so I think he could have just scolded it and healed the leper. Nevertheless, Jesus reached out his hand to this person. Why did he do so? Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 41 and 42, which contains the same content as today's text, explains why Jesus reached out. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. This scripture testifies that Jesus empathized with the leper. The Greek verb for empathize or to have compassion is splenkrizomai, which comes from the word about intestines. Last week, I discussed the King Solomon's trial in the district Bible study. Two female prostitutes who gave birth sequentially within three days came to Solomon and claimed that among the baby that is alive and another one that is dead, the living was their son. Then King Solomon ordered the living baby to be divided into two and give each a half. Then one woman agreed to do so, and the other woman said her heart is on fire hearing about it. So she asked that to be not delivered and give the baby to the other woman. King Solomon declared the woman who told him not to kill the baby was the mother. In this ruling, the mother became as if her heart were on fire. This is the same meaning as pity or empathy used in today's text. In other words, to be pitiful is to be heartbroken. That's why even the Korean word 단장, which is cutting the intestine, also means to be sad and anxious enough to break your intestines. When Jesus saw this leper, he couldn't stand it. It is sad enough to have leprosy, but this leper couldn't live in a village, and he was mocked and despised by people for being cursed by God. So Jesus couldn't help but touch him. There will be no more expression of love greater than to be touched once for this leper compared to any words that Jesus could have said. 2 weeks ago on Wednesday the 4th, after I returned home from the district Bible study, I watched an entertainment program on TV. A famous singer on the program said, "I don't think I've ever talked about it on air," and brought up the story of a friend who died 27 years ago, who had been a first-year student in high school, living in the same neighborhood, studying for exams together. I looked up the article because the incident was a huge shock to the people at the time. In June 1995, a friend named Kim Tae-hyun, who was in the first grade of high school was constantly suffering from 5 senior students and was assaulted repeatedly. So he couldn't stand it and jumped from his room on the 4th floor of the apartment. But he fell on the top of a car and was injured, so his life was saved. But then he led his injured body to one floor higher and jumped again from the 5th floor to kill himself. Taehyun's father, who had been an executive at a large company at the time, was on a business trip to Beijing. For some reason, he called his wife at dawn because he couldn't sleep at night, and he was silent for a long time and cried, saying, "Honey, Taehyun is dead." The father recalled that it felt like the ground sunk and the hotel had exploded. The father found out that his son had been bullied constantly by his seniors after that. Usually his son came home with his clothes torn, his glasses broken, or his face hurt. But when asked what had happened, he said he met a bully and hid the school violence by saying that he fell down. He didn't say he met a bully. He said he fell down and was injured. Back then, school violence had not been what you discuss in the public sphere. So when the father visited the school and asked about it, teachers repeatedly said that doesn't happen. The father, who couldn't stand his anger, met the perpetrators in person and asked them why they had assaulted his son, and then he saw that they were trembling. At first, he wanted to take revenge, but then he thought that was not the solution. He thought that this tragic death should never occur on this earth again. So the father volunteered to interview with the media to tell and share that his own son took his life because of the abuse he suffered in school. The interview filled the entire page of the newspaper, and people shared that their sons and daughters also went through the same pain. Some people even contacted him to help out or volunteer. The father had joined a large company after college graduation, worked diligently, and became an executive. But after losing his son in such a tragic situation, he thought, "What's the point of becoming a boss and how much money I make?" So he quit the company and started a foundation. At first, he applied to start it with the name School Violence Prevention Foundation. However, the Seoul Metropolitan Government said, "Why would you use the word school violence to create a foundation when there is no school violence? Don't use the word school violence." He wasn't given the permission to do so. So he changed the name of the foundation to the Youth Violence Prevention Foundation. This foundation initially rented a small office room at its own expense and began with 5 employees. And it was not easy to pay them wages every month with tight operating costs. But now there are 14 branches nationwide with 330 employees. And the number of school violence counseling sessions per year is now over 60,000. And scholarships are given under his son's name. For this, the father would even receive an award in 2019. Now, the father who created the foundation has retired from his position as the chairman of the foundation. And he recommends 2 things to young people. The first is, don't dwell on your grades. Think about something you want to do with your life and pursue it with coolness. And the second is, power and authority is not something you have to bully the weak. The power is to help people in crisis and to reach out and use it to save others' lives. Today's Teacher's Day, and the problem of bullying is serious in all fields, including not just schools, but also workplaces, sports, entertainment, and art industry. It starts as a trivial prank or habit, but over time, it becomes gossip, and finally, it is accompanied with verbal abuse and violence and bothering them with everything in life. Bullying is an evil for the individual and the group that must disappear. God did not create us to live alone. We have to love ourselves, but if we love only ourselves, we become self-centered. If we love our family, but love only our family, then we become self-centered. If we love our church, but if we love only our church, then we become self-centered. If we love our country, but love only our country, then we become overly protective of our country's interests. Whether it's personal selfish for yourself, family-centeredness, or church-centeredness, or nationalism that puts only your country's interests, that may seem good in the short term, but it won't be long before our society collapses. Because God did not create us to live like that. And there is no one who has become what they are on their own. It is because someone served us, stood us up, and reached out to us. Above all, it is because our Lord has reached out to us that we have eternal life and we are here where we are. Let us all bear the love of our Lord by lifting up our eyes to God, who has reached out to the leper, and let us all become Christians who follow the love of the Lord and reach out to others. Then we will become the channels of the Lord to heal our divided and torn society, and then the church will be built again as the salt and light of the world. Let us pray. Dear God, you allowed us and many other ethnicities to join Israelites during their exodus, and you let them become a spiritual community together, not a blood relative community. Also, God had David stay with minorities and take them in as the army of God, the channel to raise up Israel. May we not forget that to live as a Christian and the children of God is to offer our hand to others. May we not become self-centered about ourselves, our family, our church, and our country while we love them. May we not forget that you offered your hand to us despite our shortcomings and that the Lord is with us. There are many instances of bullying in our schools and workplaces. As Christians who have been blessed through the grace of the Lord, may we offer our hands to these people in our places in life. By doing so, may our society be healed and our church become the light and salt of the world again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.